if you get your coffee in, get it in earlier so that your body has the chance to get rid of it. Try to avoid doing, caffeine throughout the day to wake you up, and then alcohol at night to calm you back down. It's over-the-counter medications that you're, getting up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Artificially trying to calm your mind.
You're listening to Nexus Radio. We're here because we believe we have both the power and the potential to create our best selves. We believe long-term health and happiness is found in the balance of how we eat, move, think, and recover, and that finding a connection to the things that energize and sustain us is how we grow and thrive. Hello, and welcome to Nexus Radio. I'm your host, Ashley Hall, and with me here in the studio today is Coach Sam.
Hi,
Morning, Sam.
Ashley.
Good morning, and Coach Trey.
Hey there.
Hey, welcome fall weather, right? We're super excited about
Woo!
today. Some cooler weather out there. We're loving it.
I don't know. I'm still sweating.
I mean, this room is kind of warm, but all right. So today we're going to be talking about one thing that would help most people reach their fitness goals. And so I just wanted to start out by asking the coaches here what they think that people should be focusing on whenever they're trying to reach their fitness goals. So Sam, let's start with you.
Yay, yeah. Okay, so at Nexus we have these pillars of fitness, and I'll let Trey dive into them a little bit more. Two of the pillars being nutrition and movement, and those would obviously be the ones that people focus on kind of first, right? Under all four of the pillars that we have is kind of the base of consistency. And I feel like, and we've talked about this in our first episode, but that's where a lot of people are lacking, is just that consistent effort. They'll do things great one week or, a couple days in a row, and then, it's another week or 2 weeks before
and make
kind
it
of,
back to
yeah,
that.
they are on that same level. So it's almost like consistent moderate effort, consistent moderate
Intensity?
Not necessarily intensity, right? But just like
Yeah.
moderate success. Like, it doesn't have to be fantastic
Yeah.
Right.
consistently to be effective. But it's like if it's okay consistently, you're gonna see results.
Right.
Whereas if it's fantastic some of the time and
And not others.
not existent the rest of the time, then you're gonna have a really hard time
Yeah.
seeing anything happen. And that goes no nutrition,
Right.
movement across the board.
Yeah. So I think there's a quote that says long-term consistency trumps short-term intensity.
Yeah.
And so I think that's exactly true.
I actually
So
put that on one of our Instagram posts the other day.
Oh, excellent.
Maybe that's where you saw it.
Okay, interesting. So I would say, as Sam said, we have the four pillars. We have mindset, nutrition, movement, and regeneration. Those are all important. Making those things a habit, and finding something within each one of those realms that you can do consistently is going to help you see progress. Whereas if you only have like a fitness habit and a nutrition habit, but you don't do anything for your mindset and you don't really focus on recovery, then you're not going to see as much progress as you could, or you may not even see any progress whatsoever, even if you're doing things, quote unquote, correctly. So that's kind of what we might see. So I think one of the biggest things that we might struggle with in modern times might be the regeneration part. And so a large part of that is sleep.
Yeah.
And that a lot of us just don't get enough sleep, or we don't have good quality sleep. We're not feeling rested when we wake up, when we go throughout our day. And so I think that's something that a lot of us struggle with in modern life.
Yeah. I can most definitely. So how do you think that, how does sleep benefit us in so much that whenever we get a lack of it, that it's detrimental to what we to our results and our progress?
So the thing about not getting enough sleep is that it's going to really affect kind of like your hormones, like how we regulate them. That's one of the main things that we get whenever we sleep. is that it helps balance out like our cortisol levels, which is our stress hormone, and norepinephrine, which is another stress hormone, and it builds. That's when we actually release growth hormone as well. And so if you're not keeping those hormones kind of in balance, that you're going to be more stressed out throughout your day, throughout your life, than if you were getting quality restful sleep, just, you know, from the hormonal perspective as well. It's also a time for your mind to kind of go back and revisit, you know, the events that happened the previous day and kind of put them in order and kind of make sense of it all.
Yeah.
Is that sleep is really important for the learning process. That's kind of where you build those pathways between, you know, the things that you've done and the things that you want to do.
Kind makes of, me think about that Netflix series that we were
the Mind Explained. Watching. Yeah, that's honestly where I was kind of getting some of what I was talking about. That they actually have a great piece on where they
yeah,
talk,
I love that.
Talk about sleep and what's going on while you sleep. And there's an episode just entirely on dreams and the scientific
you gotta watch it,
application oh, of, gotta of watch dreams. It. So
awesome. Anything to add, Sam?
Yeah, so just expanding on what Trey was talking about. You know, we touched on it when we were diving into kind of frequency a little bit and how when you work out, you know, you're putting your body under stress.
Right.
And so then if we don't adequately allow ourselves to recover, whether that's, you know, in terms of resting long enough between strength or, you know, fitness sessions.
Right.
Then you're going to compound that stress and your body's going to get into, you know, a negative position as opposed to, you know, regenerating and coming back better. And the same kind of thing can happen with inadequate sleep, you know, like that's when you are, the key time when your body is recovering. And even absent of any fitness activity, lack of sleep is going to cause that kind of regression in just daily living. You know, even if you're not training on a regular basis, if you're not getting adequate sleep, like Trey said, you're releasing all these stressful hormones throughout the day, and we're not allowing our body to recover from those.
Exactly. Yeah, and I think I like that you mentioned that it's not even just related to your health and your fitness goals, but also, like, can be related to your goals within, I mean, for kids, for school, you know, being able to see academic progress, and also for just adults wanting to be able to progress and, you know, where they're working as well. So those goals too.
Yeah. We've all been in that position where we didn't get enough sleep the day before and you're at your desk or you're at your job or you're trying to focus on something, reading or on the computer, and your mind is just not there.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. I actually was reading something this morning about, how sleepiness causes accidents. And apparently Chernobyl and the Exxon Valdez oil spill and the nuclear accident at Three Mile Island were all caused by people who were sleepy, who were sleep deprived. So yeah, it's a big thing. It's a real thing. Accidents, car accidents go up the day after daylight savings time. You know, when people are getting, when their sleep schedule is interrupted.
Yeah.
And they're still expected to get to work at a
certain
time. Some
awful driving experiences I've had because I haven't had enough sleep.
It's a very real thing.
So leading away from that, I know we had been talking about just getting sleep and what it does for us, but how much should we be getting in terms of like amount of hours? Is there a certain amount we're trying to shoot for? And how can we get more sleep?
So I think that's kind of the thing is that, in general, everyone knows that they need between 7 and 9 hours of sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you're currently getting 4 hours of sleep, it's probably going to be next to impossible to go from 4 to 8 hours of sleep right away.
Right.
Right? Even if that's what your body truly needs. So at that point, just getting more is going to be better than 4, right? So if you can just go from 4 hours of sleep to 4.5 hours of sleep, you're going to see benefits. You're going to feel better. So ideally, yeah, somewhere between 7 and 9 for most people. I know that personally I tend to be a little bit on the lower side of that. 6.5, 7 is where I feel best. I can sleep longer, but I always feel groggy when I do.
Mm-hmm.
So That's my personal experience with it.
Right. So, I mean, 7 to 9, 7 to 8 is kind of what I've always read and seen. Mm-hmm. And it does change with age, right? So
right.
Younger, especially, you know, when you're growing a lot, it's going to be a lot larger,
mm-hmm.
Trying to get more hours. But then once we're, you know, past puberty and, you know, into the mid-20s and beyond, 7 to 8 is on the high side. Depending on the individual. Now, if you don't supplement with caffeine, so you're not drinking a ton of coffee and, you know, you're not wiring yourself artificially, if you feel good on 6 hours, if you feel good on 5 hours of sleep, you know, it's very individual.
Now, right.
Most people that are getting 5 hours of sleep are probably having at least a cup of coffee or something to get them, you know, revved up and going in the morning. But there are cases that, you know, people don't need as much sleep. And, yeah. You know, there's stories of, you know, some of the brightest minds in human history who sleep like 1 hour a night, but they would sleep for like 1 hour
at a time throughout the day. Yeah.
Yeah. They would basically nap pretty frequently.
Too,
yeah.
I think,
so,
right?
I mean, that kind of comes back to they're not necessarily sleeping, you know, 7 or 8 hours at a stretch, but they're still getting a significant portion of uninterrupted sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And a lot of those people who are sleeping less at night also will end up getting a nap during the day. And so they've actually done some research. One in particular had two groups of people that they only allowed to sleep 2 hours in a night. And then they measured their blood and your urine samples for certain stress hormone levels. And they found that, that, you know, they were really, really elevated. And then they allowed one group to take 2 30-minute naps.
Mm-hmm.
The next day. And then they measured their blood and urine samples again for those hormone levels, and they found that the group that had gotten those two naps, their levels had returned back to normal versus the group that had, you know, only got the 2 hours of sleep
and then
being kept up all night. Yeah. So yeah, it's one of those things that if you're one of those people that just doesn't sleep a lot at night, but you're still feeling, you know, stressed out or foggy, or you know, you don't feel like you get enough rest, but you definitely don't sleep enough at night, you probably do need to nap.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, just a 15 to 30 minute stretch is going to be enough for you. There's a lot of research that shows the benefits of doing that before you go to work or before you go to school or whatever. They actually call it a prophylactic nap because it helps prevent disease. So anyway,
I would say my ideal schedule, I would wake up super early, go work out, and then go home, eat a big meal, and go back to bed.
That's fantastic.
I mean, you look at...
my naps are after lunch.
You look at, like, you look at like Hollywood actors who like get real big for a role, and that's what they do.
Yeah.
Is that that's pretty much how they spend all their time, is sleeping, eating, and working out.
Mm-hmm.
And that if they're not eating or working out, they're sleeping. Like that's pretty much their schedule, and that's how they get so big and ripped and, you know, everything so quickly. Well, there's probably a little bit of Hollywood magic there too.
Yeah.
A little vitamin S.
So let's talk about like quality of sleep then. You know, even if you're getting the right amount, what if the quality is affected of your sleep? What can we do there to make that better? Or how can we recognize that and go about changing that?
Yeah, so, I mean, as I said earlier, if you're getting 4 or 5 hours of uninterrupted sleep, then you might be okay. But the problem is that we see a lot of people have really restless sleep. And, you know, people wearing these Fitbits or whatever, they can maybe monitor their sleep a little bit more accurately, maybe. But you can... If you're not actually being getting restful sleep, then it's not quality sleep, and you're not going to feel the full benefit from that rest. And so, a lot of that is going to be keeping good sleep hygiene, is what we would call it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, this is making sure that you have kind of a ritual to bookend your sleep, whether that's, you know, before we'd have a good bedtime routine, and then when you wake up, you'd have a good morning routine that kind of helps you understand that this is that the bedtime routine is helping you kind of wind down and get ready for sleep, prepare for sleep. It's telling your body, like, this is what we're getting ready to do. And when you wake up, having that morning routine is going to kind of tell your body, you know, this is time to get up and get out about the day. You know, so for people who just kind of wing it every night, they're going to have a harder time finding restful sleep and being awake in the morning.
Yeah, I mean, all those points are great. You know, it goes back in my in my mind to consistency, right? And so building that consistent bedtime routine and wake up routine to kind of allow your body to get into those rhythms, like Trey was saying. Ways that that could look, you know, is an hour to 2 hours before going to bed, starting to dim the lights, right? You're not turning everything off, but it's getting darker outside. So in your house, it should also kind of get darker. Turn off a lot of those lights, let kind of dusk settle in the house. And it's kind of preparing your brain to slow down. Same thing with screens, you know, trying to eliminate or limit screen time, especially that last hour before you're going to try to lay down and go to bed. That time can be well spent preparing for bed in other ways, or preparing for your next day. Maybe trying to calm your mind, meditate, or however you like to calm your mind. Kind of creating that environment to prep your body for that restful sleep.
A very
dark environment that is not distractive, kind of when it is time to lay down. And we were talking earlier, the bed is for sleep and sex, and that's it, right? So
no phones.
Ideally, honestly, not reading. That's one that I am definitely guilty of a lot, reading in bed, but trying to save that space for only those things, so that, you know, that kind of gets trained in your mind to where you won't be doing those things when you're in bed trying to fall asleep.
Yeah. Awesome.
So if you're on your phone working, or you're, you know, on Facebook or Instagram and you're just scrolling there, you're training your body to do that in that space. And so, again, kind of as Sam was saying, that we learn to associate activities with spaces that we're in. And so for insomniacs, they have a lot of success telling insomniacs to just get out of bed whenever they're lying awake, that you want to start associating being in bed with being asleep or, you know, having sex. If you're not sleepy, get out of bed and do something else that's going to make you sleepy, you know? So get out of bed and read a book, or get out of bed and do some yoga, or journal. Meditate. Something else that's going to help kind of calm you back down, allow your mind to settle a little bit. And then once you start feeling tired, then try to get back in bed and see if you're able to sleep from there. Yeah, so I mean, that's really key, and that's really what sleep hygiene is that you're keeping a clean sleep environment.
Yeah, I love that. What about for individuals that, if they still they've created that environment, but it doesn't really change the quality of sleep? Is there other things that can affect your sleep? I mean,
if you have too much caffeine throughout your day, even if you are a habitual coffee drinker and you're used to drinking a pot of coffee every day and you don't think that caffeine has an effect on you anymore, it still does. In fact, your body is kind of attuned to it, and so you still get a really large benefit, really large effect from caffeine, because your body expects it and, you know, kind of has adapted to using it. If you drink alcohol before you go to bed, if you're having alcohol, If you're drinking any sort of alcohol within an hour before you go to bed, then it is going to interrupt your sleep as well, and it's going to reduce the amount of growth hormone that your body secretes, and it's going to reduce the amount of cortisol and norepinephrine that your body eliminates as well. So you're going to wake up feeling less rested and more stressed out if you're drinking alcohol before you go to bed.
Yeah, so trying to limit caffeine like after 1 o'clock in the afternoon, you know, trying to... If you get your coffee in, get it in earlier so that your body has the chance to get rid of it. Try to avoid doing, you know, caffeine throughout the day to to wake you up, and then alcohol at night to calm you back down.
Yeah. Right? You know,
it's over-the-counter medications that you're, you know, getting up and down, up and down.
Yeah.
Artificially trying to calm your mind. Because it will help you fall asleep. Right,
but stay asleep
and restful sleep is the bigger one. You know, there's a big difference between falling asleep and staying asleep artificially and naturally.
Being active during your day can help you fall asleep, and that doesn't necessarily mean that you need to work out or work out hard, but just having some movement throughout your day is going to help you be prepared to sleep at night. Being outside, getting some vitamin D helps regulate your hormone levels as well. Helps produce melatonin, which helps you fall asleep. Eating a smaller or medium-sized dinner instead of like really eating a lot for dinner can be another one that helps some people. So if you just tend to like really gorge yourself at night and then you have a hard time falling asleep, that could be one of the reasons why. So try to eat a little bit less of, you know, some slow digesting carbs, some minimally processed proteins, and some fats. It will help keep you satisfied until morning. Making sure, like, kind of going back to the plate method that we use, that you just have kind of a blend of everything.
Right. If you have those, it's going to last over that 8 hours in which you're sleeping, you know, if you are sleeping that long.
if somebody were getting 7 or 8 hours, they were in bed for that amount of time, they're doing all these other things correctly that we're talking about, then potentially there may be room to look for some other supplementations to kind of help get some things that you might be lacking. You know, I mean, nutritionally, obviously, you talked about, you know, melatonin from the sun, and, you know, nutritionally getting those different vitamins and minerals that your body needs in order to get adequate sleep and stay asleep. But sometimes people don't get enough through those ways. So that might be something when you would talk to your doctor about it, and maybe they would advise you to supplement with some over-the-counter things, or maybe sleep apnea, breathing problems might be what's going on there. But, you know, for most people, if they're taking the time and you know, 7 hours, we talked about some people don't need it, four or 5 hours. But if you're feeling sleepy throughout the day and you're, you know, using caffeine or whatever and only getting 4 or 5 hours, you know, most likely you'd benefit from trying to get more sleep.
Right.
Yeah, and I think this might be the last point that we'll make here is if you just stick to a consistent bedtime. So going back full circle to what Sam started with, is if you can just stick to a bedtime, you're much more likely to be able to get restful quality sleep consistently than if you're like going to bed at midnight one day and then you're exhausted, so you go to bed at 8:30 the next day and you go to bed at 2 a.m. the next day. It's if you're all over the board, you're going to have a lot more difficult time finding quality restful sleep. So just go to bed, you know, when you're supposed to, and you'll make a habit out of that and feel better in the long run.
I'll say the same thing goes for waking up, right?
Because
we talked a lot about the bedtime routine. The same thing goes for that morning routine. Mm-hmm. You know, we talked about turning things down, less light in the morning. Mm-hmm. Turn those lights on.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, shock yourself awake. get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's the thing that, and I used to do this all the time, right? It was like I had multiple alarms. I hit the snooze button or turn off the first one, knew the second one was coming. Now I have two alarms. It's my alarm to get up, and it's my oh shit alarm because I didn't. I
have too many of those oh shit alarms. Yeah,
right. That one is not supposed to go off. That one goes off when I'm getting in my car, and it scares me.
Yeah.
But that's the one in case, you know, something happens, and I need that second alarm. But
yeah.
You know, 9 times out of 10 or 10 times out of 10, you don't use that alarm because
right.
you don't need it. Get out of bed. Get moving, mm-hmm. turn the lights on, get your routine going, whether that's brush teeth right away or, you know, get dressed, all those things. Just getting active and waking up, getting out of your comfortable bed under the covers where mm-hmm. it's going to be harder and harder every second you stay there.
Now,
and it's fall now, it's going to be cold. It's going to be cold getting out of bed. It's going to be harder and harder every second you stay in bed
yep.
to get out. And that's just hurting. It's creating that habit.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So if you stay in there and you use the snooze button, that's a habit.
Yeah. And the thing is that sleep is not restful.
Right.
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 You're stressed out. You're laying there trying to fall back asleep, even if you don't really feel like you can, or you're anticipating the next alarm. And so it's no longer beneficial sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just maintaining that inertia rather than actually getting out of bed and getting your day started. Because you're going to feel better if you just go ahead and get up than if you just keep ignoring those alarms. I don't even notice Ashley's anymore whenever hers goes off. Like I don't hear her alarm because she'll set it for like an hour before she's supposed to wake up. And so
I'm
terrible. I need to work on my alarms.
And they'll be like 15 minutes apart. It's like, what's the point?
I know.
You're giving yourself an hour.
That's why we're talking about this today. It's helping keep me accountable and reset
Ashley.
My thanks guys.
Yeah, so something that's can be really helpful. You mentioned like waking up with light, you know, turning your lights on, and that's kind of shocking you awake. But this, you kind of think about it. That's kind of what we're designed for, is to wake up with the sunrise.
Mm-hmm.
And so, a lot of people don't have schedules that allow that anymore, or we've got blinds and shades and everything over
right.
the windows where you can't even see it anyway.
Some people sleep indoors.
Yeah, right.
Weirdos.
But they have alarms now that simulate the sunrise,
mm-hmm.
and those can be very, very effective. I had one of our members tell us a couple months ago that he read one of my articles about this, and he said that's helped him tremendously. That he used to have the same problem where he'd have multiple alarms, and he just kind of keep sleeping through them and everything, and. His wife was annoyed because he'd wake her up early and he wasn't getting up. But now he has this sunrise simulator alarm clock, and it helps him get out of bed feeling awake versus feeling like he's constantly, you know, fighting the alarm.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a possibility for someone who really feels like they struggle getting up around in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to go catch some Z's now.
Get that nap in.
Yeah. That brings us to the end of this episode. Sleep is highly important when it comes to reaching your goals, and not having enough or high quality sleep can keep you from progressing, maybe even send you back a step or two. Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you got a lot out of this episode, and we'll see everyone next time.